Quest for Truth, presented by Protectors of the Book and HPN, Helsley Podcast Network. Now located at life-truth.com. And now, here are your hosts. Welcome, everyone. This is Keith, your host at Quest for Truth. We're starting out a second season, so we're kind of new and improved. You're probably hearing some new background intro music, which could very well change off and on. If you hear a track you like, hey, let us know, and let us know what show you heard it in, and we'll try to make sure we stick with that. I'll try out a few different theme songs. By the way, this is episode 202, and what I thought I would do is often on YouTube, there's always people having debates. There's always people talking about their viewpoint. And some time ago, I found this video, and this is just the audio track off of it. It's not the video. It was called something like 10 Things Unbelievers Say. I'm not going to link to it. If you want to look it up, look it up. But there's 10 different things. We're not going to have time to cover all 10. In fact, we're only going to do 2 today. Otherwise, it might end up being a little bit longer than what I wanted to do. And I do apologize. The last episode was definitely way longer than I intended it to be. But this one, there are 2 questions we're going to listen to. There are 2 statements. These are by people who claim to be unbelievers, because this is on a channel by somebody who is an unbeliever, and they put together these 10 things with the intention, I suppose, that it proves certain aspects of their point, that they feel like these are strong points that maybe Christians don't have anything to say against. And today, like I said, there's 2. The first one has to do with questioning your religion, and the next one has to do with some misconceptions about what atheism is. And what you'll hear, I'll play the entire clip. They only run about 2 to 3 minutes, so they're really pretty short. 2 to 3 minutes, and the intention was that myself and Nathan Caldwell would give a 2 to 3 minute response to that. And in our response, rather than saying, well, I think the guy said something like blah, blah, I went ahead and whatever statement that we had intended to refer to, I just repasted it back in. So you'll hear during Nathan's comments and mine as well, there'll be some back and forth with the original commenter, so we make sure we get them correct and they state what they said and not what we try to pull out of memory, or if we made a mistake on notes or something. And anyway, I hope it will be an interesting way to do this. Like I said, there's a total of 10 of these kind of statements, and eventually I hope to get through all of them, and then we can move on to some other things that are floating out there. You know why? Because that's the purpose of this podcast, is to look at other worldviews and why people say what they say and believe what they believe. And like this one is the misconceptions about atheists. Well, you'll find that in some of these, there's misconceptions about what they say, Christians say. And we try to be very kind about our responses. These are just small clips, so we're not trying to beat up on them and say things they didn't say. We're not trying to bring arguments into the picture that they didn't already bring in themselves, because it's really hard to do. So with that, let me get these clips queued up, and we'll see you in close to a half an hour or so. So I'll be waiting when you're through with these. Here we go.
Islam is not a religion of peace, and I woke up to the facts on the 11th of September 2001. Perhaps I should have woken up to the facts earlier, but I admit that I did that then at that time. Talking to people of my faith, Islam, and my friends, and discussing with them, I remember all kinds of fallacious arguments, but I remember one consistent thing, and that was to exempt Islam from any criticism. It was culture. It wasn't Islam. But a religion is born in a culture. And if that culture is not peaceful, then that religion is not peaceful. I was told it's politics. We've heard it tonight many times. It's not the religion. But Islam not only has a pious dimension, but it also has a political dimension, a complex system of laws, a political philosophy on how society should be organized. And if you look at that political system, it's anything but peaceful. What emancipated me from the order to submit my will completely to Allah, which in practice means the concentration of power in the hands of a few, was to learn to think critically, the Enlightenment. Vote against this motion and open up the flows of Islam for debate in order that Muslims, those who are not yet emancipated, may take charge of their own reason, of their own faculty. Vote against the motion that Islam is a religion of peace and toss that fallacy into the trash can of history. Thank you.
Thank you. I am Hussein Ali.
It was refreshingly honest. It stated that Islam is not a religion of peace. And this is apparently a lady that had lived it. And she was telling her testimony, her experiences, not necessarily of any kind of conversion, but just of finding out what Islam truly is. And I want to say that I have not read the Quran, but the experts I listen to who have read that it is a very non-peaceful, book towards other religions. And they also would agree with the political implications of Islam as this lady portrayed it. So, kind of a short comment because I agree with most or all of what she had to say, unless she said something that I didn't catch, but I did not expect that. I expected to disagree because the clips we're looking for are non-believer arguments, but, well, this non-believer in Jesus Christ at least got the fact that her religion was not a religion of peace, and they don't need to be claiming to be. Wow. On a side note, are there peaceful Muslims? Yeah, I think there are. I really do. But here's the thing. Are those peaceful Muslims going along with the Quran, their book? Or are they going along with the other religious records that they have? The records of what Muhammad said and did. But that's another religious side of things that they deal with. Are they going along with that? Are the peaceful Muslims going along with that? Well, for that, I will let you do your own research and find that out for yourself.
I 100% agree with everything this young lady said, but let me review her statements here. You know, she tells about, she woke up to this fact, this terrorist event, September 11, 2001.
I remember all kinds of fallacious arguments, but I remember one consistent thing, and that was to exempt Islam from any criticism.
Fallacious, which means erroneous, things about the faith with her friends, which is good, which is also amazing given the nature of those who are in Islam, because she says that one thing about Islam is they exempt criticism from the faith. In other words, you can't say anything bad about Islam.
But a religion is born in a culture. And if that culture is not peaceful, then that religion is not peaceful.
Religion is tied to your politics. That your politics is the source of your morality. And you build a religion around that. You know what that means? That means if you have a religion like that, Islam, it's a secular religion because you're building it around humanity. You're building it around culture. You're building it around a people group. You're building your rules, your government around that. So you're saying in this case that Islam is a religion that gets its morality from people. Where's God in all this is what I want to ask. He's not in it. And if God's not in religion, it's just government. You're just disguising it as religion.
I was told it's politics. We've heard it tonight many times. It's not the religion. But Islam not only has a pious dimension, but it also has a political dimension, a complex system of laws, a political philosophy on how society should be organized. And if you look at that political system, it's anything but peaceful.
And she emphasizes it's a system of laws and philosophies of how government should be organized. And again, no God, religion is just government. Now, I applaud her statement that her decision to rid herself of all this baggage, basically, is to think critically. And I agree. You have to toss aside the idea that Islam is a religion of peace, is her words, more or less. And wow, I can't agree more. And I will even go as far as to include this. If you're a Christian and you feel like the morality in the religion you're in is all politics, it's all about culture and people groups, and we have to do this or don't do that because, oh my gosh, what would my person sitting in the pew next to me think? Or my class, Sunday school class. Well, you know what? It's time to get out. Because clearly God has left the building and you're just left with empty rules to follow. You're not going to find morality there. Your morality, it needs to start with God. Once you find God, once you seek God, and he actually finds you, that's where it starts. He will guide you through what morality is. And if you find a religion, a set of rules, a denomination, and it has God in it, you have found a treasure. If you find a church and it's just people doing stuff, organization, politics, culture, and they never talk about God. God's not in it. Don't bother. It's empty. I'll tell you that. I will agree. I agree with this young lady. Now, because this is in a collection of what unbelievers say, my only comment to this young lady is, I'm glad you left Islam. But I really wish you would find a real religion and don't abandon all religions.
What is the greatest misreception that exists in the public mind about atheism?
Oh, there's lots of them. I would say the greatest misconception about atheism is that we're not nice people. I think that a lot of people think that morality comes from religion. Religion teaches that morality comes from religion. And therefore, if you don't have religion, you don't have morality. So I think the greatest misconception of atheism is that we're not nice and or immoral, which of course cannot be the case. It cannot be the case because all the data combats that. The population of people who are non-religious in this country, depending on your polls, goes somewhere between 15 and 30%. The population of atheists or non-religious people in federal prisons is 0.07%. 0.07 of 1%. So the amount of people, the amount of atheists who are committing crimes is tiny compared to the amount of atheists out there. On the other hand, if you look at it from a morality perspective, from an outside perspective, you can see what's happening. People change churches for a reason. They change churches because they don't agree with the church they're in. If they don't agree with the church they're in, so they say, okay, well, this church isn't doing something, it's not striking my moral fancy. I'm going to go to this church over here because it does. Well, that means morality is independent of religion. And then what they do is they go to this church over here that says, okay, your morality is correct, and God says so. And then they say, ah, God gives me my morality, right? And that's it's kind of backwards, but that's how it works. The reality is that every single human picks their own morality. Morality is relative. And everybody picks it. Everybody chooses it. The only difference between an atheist and a theist is that an atheist will internalize it and say, this is my morality. And a theist will say, this is my morality because I get it from my religion.
Okay, so the moral atheist argument. One of the things the man said at the very beginning is that we say that...
I think that a lot of people think that morality comes from religion. Religion teaches that. Morality comes from religion.
Well, any Christian that knows this stuff, which I will admit some don't, will tell you that no, morality doesn't come from religion. It comes from God. He is the one who sets the rules. He's the one who set the laws. He is the one who defines what is moral and what is not. Then he turns around and he says,
the reality is that every single human picks their own morality. Morality is relative.
Well, no, it's not. Because God determines what is moral and what is not. And if you think about it, let's back up a second. You turn around and you say that morals can be nice guys too. By whose standard? Because if everybody chooses their own morality, then who's to determine what is a nice guy? Also, you mentioned that very, very few atheists are in prison. What does it matter? If everybody chooses their own morality, what does it matter who's in prison and who's not? Because everybody sets, according to them, their own morality, so everybody is doing the right thing, according to them, which is their own morality. So on one sense, it seems like they're saying, well, you know, everything is relative. But on another sense, they're trying to argue the side of the field that we're moral people. We're moral people. Well, you can't have both. You cannot say I am a moral person and then say I set my own morality. It doesn't work that way. Morality either needs to have a set standard or it's out of the picture.
The moral atheist, and the guy talks about one big misconception.
Oh, there's lots of them. I would say the greatest misconception about atheism is that we're not nice people.
And I'll leave that laying there for right now.
I think that a lot of people think that morality comes from religion. Religion teaches that. Morality comes from religion.
I don't know which people he knows that think that. But I certainly don't think that's the case. Religion is what we do, certainly. Religion is a set of rules, a set of laws, if you will. And I've said it before, I'm pretty sure, that religion, without God in it, is just another form of government, a secular government without God. Therefore, it's easy to corrupt and morals are out the window because they are whoever the man in charge says they are, not what God says they are. He says data proves it.
Because all the data combats that. The population of people who are non-religious in this country, depending on your polls, goes somewhere between 15% and 30%. The
prison population reflects that as if that's some indicator.
Is 0.07%.
You know, I can claim to be a Buddhist, but I'm not. I don't know anything about it. I can claim that, though. And I think that's what happens in prisons. I've seen it in the military. You have on your dog tag stamped, you know, Jewish, Baptist, Methodist, whatever your religion is. And a lot of guys just have something stamped on there because that's what they grew up with. That's what their parents were. From their behavior, you wouldn't know that they were religious at all. I'll tell you what. So people can claim something. And I think maybe prisoners do that because if I claim I'm a Methodist, when the Methodist preacher comes and the ministry teams, I can get a few minutes out of my day going to this church service where I don't have the guards all over my, looking over my shoulder and whatever. I think that kind of thing happens. But it doesn't prove that those people that are in there are religious because if they were practicing their religion, why are they in jail? Clearly, they weren't practicing their religion, unless their religion is to lie, steal, cheat, extort. And those things are clearly not right.
If you look at it from a morality perspective, from an outside perspective, you can see what's happening. People change churches for a reason. They change churches because they don't agree with the church they're in. If they don't agree with the church they're in, so they say, okay, well, this church isn't doing something, it's not striking my moral fancy. I'm going to go to this church over here because it does. Well, that means morality is independent of religion. And then what they do is they go to this church over here that says, okay, your morality is correct, and God says so.
And I thought, okay, he was very precise on his data with prisons. I'm just curious, where's his data on this? Because I'll just say, personally, and I know a lot of Christians. I bet you I know more than this guy does. Because I've been around churches all my life. And most of the time that I've noticed people will change one church to another, it has absolutely nothing to do with morality. It has a lot more to do with politics. Maybe there was a new pastor and a bunch of people don't like him, so they left. It's not his religion they don't like or his morality. There's just something about the guy. Or there was a church building program and they argued over the color to paint the walls. It's church politics. It's not morality. Those are probably the most common reasons I've seen why people change churches. And there's other reasons, changing jobs, moving. Those are most of the reasons why I've changed churches. But I have to say, I'm not criticizing. I just am curious to know about the statistic on that. And maybe there's a poll out there. And maybe this guy is unaware. I know I'm unaware of the numbers. But he says, they find a church that says your morality is correct because God said so. And I would say, if you find a church that says that, you're in the right place. If God is in those teachings, if God is in those religions, that's the church you want. Whenever God is not in it, again, religion is just government. Without God in it, it's just government.
The reality is that every single human picks their own morality. Morality is relative.
And, you know, there is something to that. You know, when in Rome, do as the Romans do. If you're looking, again, at your morality coming from religion without God, then your religion is whatever your local custom is. as that means your truth changes. Hey, if you don't like that truth, go and change somewhere else. So I guess in his world of relative morality and people changing churches because of morality, maybe I could see where it's coming from, but it's not right. He does say something profound here. I do kind of agree with this.
The only difference between an atheist and a theist is that an atheist will internalize it and say, this is my morality. And a theist will say, this is my morality because I get it from my religion.
That is absolutely true. I know I don't know it all. I know I often come up with the wrong answer. I know that if it was up to me, I would make some stupid moral choice. I need to have something that's bigger than me that sets a rule for me, because I don't trust myself setting my own rules. And so he's right. He is right about that. And unless you are such a self-confident person who always makes all the right decisions and never makes a mistake, well, if this guy is that way, I applaud you. I really applaud you, because I wish I could be as confident and master of my universe as that. I've been around long enough to know I need something to identify that's bigger than me. The believer finds their identity in God. Okay, and that was how Nathan and I responded to these couple of concepts about Islam being a religion of peace, and that really it isn't. And the big underscore I want to take away from that is that that if you do question your religion, quote unquote, your set of rules, you should. You really should. And if that's where you want your morality to come from and it's not being satisfied, then find a religion that does have God in it, and you'll find your morality. And I guess that would apply to the second clip too. You know, if you have doubts, don't run away from the religion. Just look for the ones out there that are correct. If they have good teachings and doctrines about God, you found it. If they just talk about fluff and when's the next potluck, then you found a good social circle. So anyway, a matter of housekeeping before I leave, and I save this till now, is we do now have a new website, a web domain for all of our Quest for Truth shows. Now, we still have podcast.heltzley.net, and it's still going to be out there because I do more stuff than just Quest for Truth. Not very often, but I still do. And I want to keep them tied together through that. So if that's how you subscribe to the shows, you won't miss anything. But I do want to push people towards life-truth.com. Now, I came up with that domain because, of course, if I wanted to make it after our podcast name, well, guess what? Quest is taken. Truth is taken. Quest Truth, taken. Truth Quest, taken. .com, .net, .org, all kinds of stuff. I thought, well, holy cow. I'm running out of options, and I just mixed up the words into it and came up with Life Truth, because, hey, that's what we talk about, is life's truths. And I thought, maybe I'll go with that, and maybe over time we'll shift our podcast name. People do that sometimes. They'll change your podcast name. But right now, our flagship is still Quest for Truth. We'll probably be focusing more on worldviews and culture and social justice type topics. So you probably find us under the culture section in iTunes and other places. But we also didn't want to leave Bible commentary alone, and that's why we developed our other podcast you'll find on this feed called Truth Exposed, and that's going to be purely digging into Bible verses and seeing what they say. I didn't have time to tell all this on our last episode because it was, as mentioned, a lot longer. But today's was a little shorter, so here I am taking a little bit of time to let you know about some of those things. So with that said, this will be Keith signing off, saying thanks for listening. See you next week. And we'll have to see if we have Nathan Caldwell back in the studio or if we'll be doing yet another one of these response shows like today, or we even have some other surprises in the works that could be turning up soon. I won't tell you any more about it. Maybe next week. So thanks for listening and sticking with me this far into the show. This is Keith again saying signing off. Thanks for listening, and we'll see you next week. Visit life-truth.com, the new home for all our Quest for Truth shows. Subscribe to the shows. Sign up for email notifications. Send an email or leave a voicemail. 401-753-4844. Everything Nathan Caldwell does can be found at Protectors of the Book. Facebook.com/Protectors of the Book. That's Protectors of the Book. Music in the show provided by Carrie Livgren under the Creative Commons license as a derivative work, freely received, freely given, not for sale. Music in the show is also provided by Kevin Zerbe. You can find all that he does, including his podcasts, at zerbinator.wordpress.com. May God richly bless you. And if you don't know Jesus, your greatest need is a Savior. Thanks for listening.